Speaker is Marshall M. from Atlanta.
Hey, family, my name is Marshall and I'm an addict. I'm real grateful for the gift of desperation. Had I not been desperate, I'd have never met all you lovely people. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Let me say this and get this part out of the way, right? Why I'm all busted up, like, especially for the men in the audience, I need to tell you this, right? We need to go to the doctor. Yeah, I'm 50 years old. I turned 50 in November, right? Look good for 50, right? Even with two black eyes. I'm 50 years old, so I go to the doctor on a regular since I've been clean, right? And in my annual appointment, he told me, right, like, I see some things, right? I see a tumor in the middle of your head. I see one on the bottom of your foot, and you got a hernia. I'm saying, Doc, you the more experienced member, right? Handle your business. He said, right, well, we can do it all in the same day. I said, take care of what you got to take care of. But, like, on that day that you told me, I want to catch an airplane and go to D.C., right? My daughter and my granddaughter, they live up here in Maryland. And I want to go see them. So do you think that I can, like, my wife's sitting here, so I got to tell y'all the truth, right? I want to tell y'all that I asked the doctor, can I fly that night? But I didn't. I asked him, can I fly in the morning, even though I knew I was going to fly that night. He said, you can fly in the morning, so I figured I was good to go at night. So I was in surgery at 8 o'clock in the morning, getting three surgeries, and by 7:45 at night, I was on an aeroplane, right, headed for my daughter's house. I wanted to be with them. My daughter, you know, she loved me, and I wanted to be with her while I was going through this, so it's all good. I'm healing very well. That was Wednesday. Wednesday night, I took, what's the name of that dope that I took? Vicodin. My doctor gave me some. He prescribed it to me, right? Wednesday night, I took Vicodin. I took a half of one when I got on the airplane. I took another whole one when I got to my daughter's house before I went to sleep. About 5 o'clock in the morning, I took another half, right? I knew I was going to come up here and share, and I don't think, right, me personally, that addicts should share while they high. So I ain't take none today. In the last 24 hours, I have not had any in me, right? And I'm doing quite well. I ain't in no pain. If I was in pain, I would have took one, and I wouldn't be up here talking. So we got that out the way, right? Y'all ain't got to wonder why I look like this, right? Been a whole bunch of rumors going around that my wife kicked me down the steps. She might want to, but she didn't this time, right? And like, while I'm on the subject of my wife, I need to say this, right? Like, I love you, honey, right? I've been married for a little over a year. I got married December the 10th, 2000, the other year back, right? 2010. Yeah, 2010. Yeah, no, that other one, boy, you don't even want to know about that one. This one I'm in love with. That one was for all the wrong reasons. Anyway, she's been a trooper, right? Like, I was talking to her today when, like, she had to go park the car after she dropped me off. And, like, you know, I'm the man. That's my job, right? And I was telling her how much I appreciate her doing my job throughout this time, right? And like, what we talk about is that with partnership is all about. So I love you and thank you, right? I need to thank another addict. I dare not get at this mic and don't thank this addict. Her name is Pam B. Pam B is my sister. She is the vehicle that God used to bring me to Narcotics Anonymous. I have 9 years and 2 months clean. My message to all of you, right, is 9 years is not enough. My sister Pam B, like I'm from D.C. too. I need to say that, right? I'm from Southeast D.C. Money, property, and prestige don't matter. I had plenty of money when I got high in my house in Prairiewood and Upper Marlboro, right? I had a house built over there, and I spent many days getting high in the basement till I couldn't do it no more. When I couldn't do it no more, I said, right, God, help me. When I said, God, help me, I passed out in that house in Upper Marlboro and Prairiewood. And when I woke up, all I knew, right, is I had to do something different. I'm going to try to move through this so I can get to, I got something else I want to talk about out of that dictionary as well. Anyway, when I woke up a couple of days later, my mama called me on the telephone. She lived in Atlanta. She said, my house caught on fire, son, and I need you, right? I said, I'm on my way, Mom. You know, no problem. All I know is pistols. Like, matter of fact, the state of Maryland called me when I lived here. The state of Maryland called me 208-471, right? Yeah, that's my DOC number. Yeah, but the big thing about that DOC number, I don't even have a felony record today, right? I can tell y'all all about that, but, you know, that's a whole nother story, too. Anyway, let me stay focused here, right? When my mama called me, I went to Atlanta, and on my way to Atlanta, I'm batshit ass crazy. I'm trying to run from the crack, right? And I'm batshit ass crazy. I say, right, when I get to Atlanta, I'm going to holler at my sister because she's going to know what to do, right? Because she's been seeing them people down there. And I got to Atlanta, I checked in with my mama. And after I checked in with my mama, I went to see my sister. And when I went to see my sister said, right, like I just relapsed last night, right, after 9 years. 9 ain't enough. She said, I just relapsed, and I got to go see these people. Like I'm the only boy and the oldest child. Been toting pistols since I was 12, right? So when she said that, I said, right, like put my pistol in my pocket and I asked her, like, who the people that's messing with you? Because she said she had to go to a meeting, but she was scared. And I ain't know, right? And she also said, right, hey, she said she had to make this thing called 90-90. Like, whatever, man, I'm on your team. Let's go. Yeah, so my first meeting, right, my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I'm not very proud, but it's my story. I showed up, I sat in the back of the room, I had a bald head like this, right, with my pistol in my pocket. If you see me at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting now, you usually see me in the front of the meeting, right? That's the reason I sit up front, right? I sat in the back of the room right now waiting for y'all. Yeah. You know, say something to it if y'all want. And y'all said something. Y'all said, we love you, boo. Welcome back, Pam. We love you. And I'm in the back of the room scratching my bald head saying, like, where the mean people left? Man, I'm so grateful, right, that y'all wasn't mean. You know, y'all probably caused me a big problem in my life or ended my life. I don't know what would have happened then, right? But I'm real grateful, right, that y'all welcomed her because y'all made it's a program of attraction. Y'all made me interested. I spent a lot of time in Jessup, down in the cut, and I read a lot of books. So that night, y'all kept talking about this book. And so on our way home, I asked her to let me see the book. When I got this book, I picked it up, and I didn't put it down until I got to the end of it. The reason I picked it up my first time ever having a Narcotics Anonymous book in my hand, the reason I read it from cover to cover, because in Who's an Addict, it says, right, we had reached animalistic levels, right? And I'm saying, like, how the fuck did they know? Excuse my language, right? I'm still cussing, and I'm all right with it. You ain't all right with it. Talk to your sponsor. I said, how did they know, right? How did they know that in that house in Prairiewood, with the shower working, right, that hair in my ass had dreaded up like matlocks, like dreadlocks? Yeah. I'm talking about me, right? How did they know, right? Like, I was running around the house like a lion, and my woman had to escape. I had a shotgun and a pistol walking around the house, would not take a shower, and the hair in my ass was matted up. How did they know? That's what I said when I read that part said about animalistic living, right? And it intrigued me. And so I kept reading, and then, right, I thought I was like a semi-gangster or some shit, right? And so, like, my mind said, right, this must be like FBI or some shit, so you better not stop reading, right? Find out all what they know about you. I kept reading. I read till I got to the end. And you remember, like I told you what Pam said, she had to do that 90-90 thing, right? So, like, the next day, right, 90 and 90, right, for the newcomer, or for the experienced member who ain't got that much experience. 90 and 90 mean 90 meetings in 90 days. You know, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if I step on your toes, you probably need them stepped on. Simple as that, right? It means 90 meetings in 90 days. And me and Pam, we started making them 90 meetings in 90 days, right? There I found a sponsor. A sponsor, the sponsor dude, right, is a person who carries you through the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Simple as that, right? Ain't no banker, ain't no lawyer, ain't no doctor. It is the person that carries you through the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. When I asked dude, right, so I can get to the topic, right? When I asked dude to sponsor me, right, dude told me first, go in the meeting and pick up all them pamphlets, right? They got some free pamphlets in Narcotics Anonymous. Our program is in those pamphlets. He told me to get each one of them and write in it, write a small sentence about how I could identify with each one of them. There was something in each one of them that I identified with. Then we got the book. It wasn't this book. It was the other book, right? The one before this one. This is the sixth edition. It was the fifth. Then we got the book, and he opened it up, and he showed me it was blank, right? He said, that's what you know about staying clean. Yes, sir. Nothing. No. Let me teach you something. Right. Like in Southeast, right, men didn't get too close to men, right? So it was easy the first couple of days, right, because I was real willing. Mine's is open-minded. I was real willing, right? But, like, after I had to start telling them some of that shit that I said I'd never tell nobody, you know? I'm like, man, I ain't gonna be able to talk to dude about all this. I did some other stuff, right? I got a female for a sponsor, and she sponsored me for a minute until, you know how that work, right? For the obvious reasons, we say men with men, women with women, right? Anyway, right? Dude has taught me a lot in these 9 years and 3 months, 9 years, 2 months, whatever it is, right? He has taught me how to take deep looks at Marshall. How to take deep looks at Marshall. When I was given this topic, my man here, right, I grabbed a dictionary, right? Because I need to get accurate information. Open-mindedness, this is what I read. It says, having or showing a mind receptive to new ideas or arguments. Ain't none of that about who I was before I got here. You know, life plus 67, I knew I was going to jail, right? That's what they gave me when they sent me to Upper Marlboro, right? I knew I was going to jail, but I couldn't stop what I was doing. Because I had Bernard and them dudes over Southeast, right? They had gave me some information, right? They gave me some information in Southeast, and I believed, right, what they had to say. It wasn't working, but I figured if I kept doing it, sooner or later it would work. And I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it despite all the obvious information. I mean, all the evidence, obvious evidence, right? Like I kept going to jail, literature talk about jails, institutions, and death. All of that was my story, right? I got something else I want to, I still got another definition. This one fits fine, too. It says, unprejudiced, unbigoted, and impartial. We're talking about open-mindedness, right? I'm 50, right? I got some glasses, but my wife seemed to misplace them, right? So. A new idea cannot be grafted. She's like, blame her, right? A new idea cannot be grafted on a closed mind. Being open-minded allows us to hear something I can see. Being open-minded allows us to hear something that might save our lives. You hear me? It said being open-minded might allow us to hear something that might save our lives. This dude, right, this sponsor dude that I talked about, right, he has a sponsor who had gave him the 12 steps like he received it from his sponsor. And so my sponsor gave it to me like he had received it, right? He said, right, if you want to do something different, you got to talk about Marshall. From the time I came here, that's how I've been doing. These ladies in Atlanta, they use this word, right, R-O-L. Recover out loud. That's how I do it, right? Like, that sister of mine, Pam B, I talked about, when I had 5 years clean, she died. She died clean. I need to say that too, right? She died clean. When she had, my mama called me up that morning, right, and she said, like, Pam gone. I'm like, she gone where? She said, she dead, right? Like I was about 10, 15 minutes from the hospital, right? So I jumped up.
And I run to the hospital, right? And I'm standing there, right? And I'm looking at my sister laying on this slab, right? And she looked like she sleeps. She don't look like she dead for real, right? That's about like 9 o'clock in the morning. So like we stayed there and we nursed our family and like 12 o'clock, we got a clubhouse in Atlanta called the Highland Club, world famous Highland Club. Y'all know it? Yeah. I know they got a meeting there at 12 o'clock every day, right? So around about 11:30, the coroner came, took my sister away, right? I sent my mama home with my aunt, some of them folk, right? They was family, right? I said, like, I need to go somewhere and I'll be back. And so I went to the meeting and I put my hand in the air. I said, my name is Marshall, I'm fucked up and I don't know how to deal with it. But I heard y'all talk about y'all sister died. I heard y'all talk about y'all mama died. And I heard y'all talk about y'all brother died. And y'all kept saying y'all ain't do no dope. And I don't know how not to do no dope. And y'all said, let us show you. Let us show you. Like my sister died and I ain't do no dope. I done been married and I done been divorced and I ain't did no dope. You know, I got an NA story, right? I done been here and I done been through some stuff and I ain't did no dope as a result. It is my firm conviction, right, that I ain't do no dope because I've been open-minded enough to allow the dude to help me, right, to grasp the new idea. You know, the same stuff that used to make me use don't make me use no more. You know, I ain't all the way recovered, right? Because some stuff come in my life and it hurt real bad. And it make me want to do some stuff. But irregardless, I don't do no stuff. Because I got some folk in my life, right? I got NA members in my life. I got a family. I got a family of NA members, right? That hold me up when I can't hold myself up. You know, and they only do it because I allow them. You know, when I got here, I didn't have all the answers. The pain was real great. Them damn hairs in my ass, they hurt it. They hurt it. Hey, my mama taught me how to take baths and how to wash and all that stuff. I had forgot it. It was no longer important. You know, what y'all had to say was very important when I got here. You know, I hear people talk about how many times they relapse and all that stuff. Well, relapse ain't my story. It ain't my story. I ain't saying it to brag. I'm telling a member who don't know, right, that you don't have to. A literature says that it does happen, but it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory. Treatment ain't my story. NA is. Like, I'm grateful to have gotten clean in Atlanta where they got so many meetings every day. When I got here, I made 5 meetings every day. Every day. Because I was scared for my life. I didn't know what to do. They had a meeting that started at 10 o'clock in the morning and they had one that started at 11:30 at night. Every day of the week. That's where I was at. I did that for the first year of my recovery. I don't make those many meetings anymore, but I make meetings on a regular basis. I have a home group. Did I tell y'all? My home group is Back to Basics on the south side of Atlanta. We meet every Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock. You're in Atlanta, come see us sometime, right? It's probably almost my time. Oh, I'm doing good? All right. I'm sorry. I don't want to hog it, right? Because he was right. He was absolutely, absolutely right, right? Proper service means sharing the time. You know, this ain't about me. It ain't about me. My sponsor called me right before the meeting. My sponsor is Donald M. out of Atlanta, right? He told me to tell y'all hi, right? He called me right before the meeting, and he said, go give them what you got. And all I got, right, is my experience, strength, and hope. My experience, strength, and hope. I seen a dude walking around with a sweat jacket on and set it on the back, no matter what. That's my experience, strength, and hope. Like, when I got to Atlanta, right, I had never worked a real job. I've been hustling since I was 12, right? Since I was 12. I heard him say something about quarter parties. I don't know nothing about that. I was selling weed in Potomac Gardens. I was, you know, bamming the lauder. That's my story, right? From way back then. I always wanted more than I was. I always wanted more. My mama couldn't buy me enough. I remember, right? She bought me these damn marshmallows. Y'all remember marshmallows? She bought me the White Hills. She bought me a pair of green patent leathers the year after they went out of style from Morton's on Pennsylvania Avenue. That was the last pair of shoes she ever bought me, right? She said, if you don't wear them, right, 5 minutes, then you won't wear no shoes this year. I started hustling that year, right? Shit. Oh, my God, man. I love Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm real grateful, right, I'm real grateful to come in this region and be able to share. I've been fortunate enough to go all over the country and talk about Marshall, right? But I've never been home talking about Marshall. And I'm home, right? And so it feels real good, right? Like to listen to Go-Go in the hallways and stuff like that, right? That feels real good. Let me tell you about right now, right? I never had a job before I went to Atlanta. Today, right, God has blessed me, right, and I never been to treatment. I mean, until I got a job in treatment. I'm a certified substance abuse counselor, right? Not only am I a certified substance abuse counselor, I'm a certified domestic violence counselor, right? Like, I'm the same cat used to smack the girls, right? I don't smack girls today, right? I don't put my hand on my wife. I talk to her, and we talk to each other, right? Narcotics Anonymous taught me that. Narcotics Anonymous taught me, right, that we can get through these disputes if you work on your damn self, Marshall. You know, you ain't got to work on her. She'll work on herself. But you got to work on you. I am the man in my house. So I have to lead in my house, right? By doing what? Working on me. I don't know. Listen. Listen, this is what I know, right? That God is good. Narcotics Anonymous is good. This literature says this. We have learned that it is okay to not know all the answers. For then we are teachable and can learn to live a new life successfully. Thank y'all for allowing me to say.
Our next speaker is Angie Kay.